Hello, everybody, and welcome to All Sports Best Radio. I'm Trey Gonzalez here with Ruben Gonzalez and Dylan Dominguez, and we welcome you to the podcast. And if you're not listening online on the podcast, you might be listening online to 12ouncesportsradio.com. We really appreciate you supporting us on that platform as well. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about is the Winter Olympics. First thing on the Winter Olympics agenda, Chloe Kim gets first place, or the gold, for the half pipe event. She's 17 years old. What does that mean to a 17-year-old that has, basically, and I'm sure this is kind of what she's been doing this her whole life and training probably exclusively for this?
I think it's a big deal. She's from Southern California, which is another big deal because snow is 5.5 hours away. So her parents would take her 5.5 hours every weekend to Mammoth to train. So that's a big commitment on their part and on her part. You know, you got to think, as it is, it's tough, you know, being in school or whatever. I don't even know. She's probably a high school senior or something. So, you know, all week she's doing whatever she's doing at school and then busts it up there every weekend to train. And, you know, she's probably been doing that at least 4 years, maybe longer. So, yeah, that's a big commitment. And I guess she's a big social media guru now. She's putting a lot of stuff on Instagram and stuff like that is what I hear. But what do you think, Dylan?
I got one word, and that's amazing. What did she say, 17?
You love simplifying it to one or two words.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
But to be 17 and win a gold medal for your country, like on the biggest stage at the Winter Olympics, like,
yeah,
that's, I don't know, I didn't even do it, and I don't know how to, I'm speechless.
Wow, okay. So just by her doing this, you're excited, like if you won it.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool. Okay, so other news in Winter Olympics, guys. What do you have for Winter Olympics? Some of the things that have gone on, just notable things.
Well, the only other thing that I can think of right now is, of course, Shaun White being a legend, and you know him going for the gold again. And what is it? His fourth Olympics, I believe. It's his fourth.
Makes sense. I mean, final, yeah, that sounds good.
Fourth and final Olympics. So yeah, it's pretty exciting for him, and you know he's been big on all the winter sports, but especially, you know, like a mentor to other athletes and stuff for, you know, being able to achieve what he's done, you know, at such a high level.
Yeah. And it's also something to kind of look up to, given the fact that, you know, he got injured real badly, you know, a while back. And, you know, for people who get hurt and, you know, people were kind of wondering like, oh, I don't know if, you know, he's going to compete again, you know, especially after that big crash he took and gashed his head open, but like he's freaking balling out right now.
The first thing that I think about when I think Winter Olympics, and I think a lot of people would agree, is Shaun White. I mean, maybe it's the hair because it's so obvious, it's so bright and notable, but I don't know.
He wouldn't have cut it off.
What's that?
I wish he wouldn't have cut it
off. Right, exactly. No, but I mean, that's something that you think about, but then at the same time, you're thinking about excellence and you're thinking about somebody that's representing America. That's what you think about when you're obviously from the country. Other countries might not think the same thing, but Shaun White has been the face of the Winter Olympics for America. And that's probably, something that a lot of people would agree with. So you guys are nodding your head.
I think another big thing is that he just looks like he's having fun all the time. Yeah. Anytime you talk to him, I know he was on that commercial during the Super Bowl, and it just seems like he's having look what he's doing. I mean, he's just, it's like he's skateboarding in the snow, you know what I mean, and doing 1080s and what are they now, 14 something. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they can do on a board, but he's just enjoying it. So that's what makes it exciting too.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of the Olympics, we're going to go into the Summer Olympics. Well, an athlete that was from that, and it was Ali Raisman. She posed in the body issue of Sports Illustrated with the words, "Women do not have to be modest to be respected," painted on her body, and then also the word in all caps, "fierce." So, this is obviously kind of like a response to the whole case against Larry Nassar.
Uh-huh.
And so, what do you guys think about her posing, you know, to kind of get the message out there? It obviously gets people's attention, no matter if it's negative or positive, and they see these words on her body. You know, what kind of message does it send to basically anybody?
I think it's, you know, it's a, I guess it's a positive message. I didn't know anything about it till just now, but I've seen, like, you know, some of the stuff like from the Sports Illustrated swimsuit, but never like that. But I guess that's just, you know, saying, hey, you know, it's supposed to be respected, and you know what I mean? It's important. So I think it's, you know, it's a good thing for her.
Dylan, what do you think?
I think it's a good thing for, you know, women all over, really. Especially with, like, everything that's been going on, you know, this year, not just, you know, what happened with that whole court case and everything, because that's horrible to hear about. But it's just kind of like her opening up and showing, like, we don't have to be ashamed of anything. It's okay to come forward. It's okay to, you know, be who you are. And it's just good. I think it's good for women everywhere, really.
All right, we're going to move on into the basketball world, one of our favorite topics. And it's got to be about, gosh darn it, it's the Ball Brothers again. LeVar continues to talk. And Ruben, this is the topic that you wanted to kind of discuss. So kind of give us some insight on what exactly we're going for.
Well, LeVar's always on the news. He's always right in the middle of everything. It just seems like he's one of those parents from back in the day where they just are in everybody's face about their kids and about everything. Well, of course, his kids are at a different level than most kids. And, of course, Lonzo went number two overall, played 1 year at UCLA. LiAngelo was supposed to go play 1 year at UCLA. He got in all that trouble in China and everything and ended up withdrawing. So now they're in Lithuania, and he's actually coaching them over there. So his statement here lately was, I guess he's not happy that IT's sharing time with Lonzo and stuff. So he's saying that as soon as his other sons are eligible to play in the NBA, he's going to put them all on the same team. And, you know, so I just think he's trying to control too much of what goes on in the NBA and that stuff. And I think it's, you know, it's just ridiculous. I think they need to stop. Of course, it's our fault too. Look, we're talking about it. So
we're promoting him right now.
Yeah. What do you think?
Dylan, just give me your thoughts on the whole Ball situation. We haven't really gotten your thoughts on this.
I don't know. I think LeVar is trash, to be 100% honest.
Like, wow.
Yeah, I don't.
How do you really feel?
Yeah, I don't.
Hey, he speaks very highly of you.
Yeah, I don't really care for him or his antics or whatever. I mean, they do say, you know, any publicity is good publicity, but I don't like the way I'd get tired of it if my dad was controlling, you know, my life to that extent of everything. And, you know, been real fortunate to have a good dad, and, you know, it's just, I would get really old really quick. And for him to be trying to tell all these, you know, he's basically saying, like, hey, I run my kid's life.
Right.
They're all going on the same team. Mm-hmm. Like, telling that to NBA executives and coaches, letting them know, like, firsthand, like, this is what's going to happen. Like, okay, dude, like, you don't call the shots. It's the freaking NBA.
Right. And it's what's crazy about it is that he kind of has called the shots, at least
so
for
far.
Yeah.
Lonzo to go where he went. And I guess one of his next, how do I even say this? One of his next business moves is he's going to start selling bottled water, Baller Brand bottled water. And the thing about that is that I already pre-ordered gallons of it. So if you guys want to taste it, I'm going to like slip it into your drinks whenever you guys come in here. And I think we're going to have a better podcast altogether. I get it. It's very annoying to see all of the stuff that he does, everything that he's kind of pushing out there. The merchandise that they make is clearly pushing crazy numbers. It's an obnoxiously large logo on shirts, just like, you know, I don't know. Everything that he does is very gaudy, and it's kind of worked out in his favor. I think that just kind of putting the vibes out there like, I'm going to be successful, it seems to work for him.
Well, I think what he's doing is he's putting, I mean, he probably sits there in Lithuania between games and just sits there and thinks, okay, what can I say that's just crazy?
Or during games.
Get the most attention, because the more attention, the more ESPN talks about me, mm-hmm. other social medias,
right.
That's the more my name's out there, and more Baller Brand shirts and shoes and merchandise that it's going to get sold. So, I mean, he's smart and he's making tons of money on it, but he's an idiot too.
To be 100% honest, I'm I'm halfway done with season two on Ball in the Family and Facebook. I mean, that's plain and simple. It's very addicting to watch those things and kind of see just how much of an idiot he is. But I've gained a lot of respect for Lonzo after watching that show. I can't support their actual gear. Like, I might watch that show. There's millions of people that do. But it's crazy when they do a pop-up shop. Like, when ASB does a pop-up shop, it's like, yeah, we sell about 2 or 3 shirts. They do a pop-up shop, 2,000 to 3,000 shirts, sell out. You know, they'll buy anything that's there. Oh, that shirt's not my size. I just got to have it anyway. I came here for that. And, yeah, exactly.
And what is it? $40 for a t-shirt or
for a t-shirt? I don't know. 25? Dylan, do you know the prices on there? I think it is.
That one you wore yesterday. That's what it is. It's too much.
That one you wore yesterday, yeah. How much was it?
If I wore a Big Baller Brand shirt ever in my life, I would
you'd be at the lowest point.
Yeah, the lowest point ever. That'd be like I'm living on the streets and that was what I had to wear to keep warm.
We're going to go in reverse mode from the Ball Brothers. I'm sorry, not the Ball Brothers, but from LaVar Ball and his controlling ways and talk about Steve Kerr and the Warriors. He did the exact opposite. He let his players coach whenever they played the Suns. Is that just super disrespectful to the Suns, or is it just kind of like a cool way of kind of making your players, I don't know, keep from burning out on the season? What do you guys think on that? Dylan, I'll let you start that one off.
I actually think it's kind of cool. You know, you let them see what, I mean, they're all, you know, professional basketball players. They've been playing for a while. You know, they have a lot of knowledge of the game, and sometimes it's cool to see what, you know, the players come up with. And because as a coach, you might not always know the best situation, you know, what's going on the court. Right. You can't see and do everything. You know what I mean? You're not the one getting picked. You're not the one shooting jumpers. You're not the one whatever. So it's kind of cool to let the players coach, you know, not like kind of coach themselves, but, you know, they know what's going on the court really better than anybody, I feel like. So give them a shot and see if it can help you guys out, maybe, you know, in a different situation somewhere down the road.
Yeah, and I think that watching this game, it was really cool to see Andre Iguodala with the clipboard in his hand.
Yeah.
Because dude's been around. I mean, he was a star on multiple teams, and then now he comes here, he plays a role. He knows the ins and outs of being not only a six man, but a starter and a stud. And I mean, he's played every aspect of the game, so coaching probably is in his future anyways. I think that was pretty cool to kind of get him that experience. Now, when I saw Draymond Green kind of in the middle of it, I'm just thinking he's putting stuff on the clipboard just saying, like, punch this dude in the nuts,
kick this guy
in the shin. Yeah. I mean, and then there's going to be an open layup at the end of it. Yeah. That's kind of, I think, what he was putting
together. They probably won't call it either.
No, exactly. Ruben, what'd you think on it all?
Well, I think that it was a good idea. I think it's something that other teams should try once in a while. When I think Steve Kerr said that, like, his team was, I don't know, like, I guess they had gotten beat the other night and they were just kind of like stale, and he just wanted something different to spark them. And I guess, you know, poor Suns, I feel bad for the Suns because, you know, it does. If I'm on the Suns, I'm thinking I am getting disrespected because it's like, yeah, these guys aren't that good. So I'm going to go ahead and let somebody else
coach.
Not
worth my time.
Cares? Yeah. So that part of it's kind of bad. And Jared Dudley said, I can't quote him exactly, but he said, you know what, if we're going to get beat by 40 points, I guess, you know, if we don't want to get shown up like this, then we got to stop getting beat by 40 points. So, I mean, that's, you know, kind of sums it up that way. And so it's kind of tough that way. But yeah, I think it was a good thing to do. And, you know, like I said, you see a different perspective on how things run. And maybe he even learned something, you know, by watching them do something maybe different that works that maybe, you know, he never thought of.
Are the Suns the most embarrassing team in the NBA right now?
If they're not, they're pretty freaking close.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up. I can't think of anybody worse than them right now.
Yeah, just at least for entertainment purposes. I mean, I know teams that are probably close to them, but it's like, it's so boring to even just, honestly, I mean, because we're in New Mexico, and if you're going to turn on like a local news channel, Fox Sports Arizona,
it's right
I mean,
there.
They have that on there all the time, and it's like, it's not even worth putting on a local channel. Like, it's sad, but it's true.
It's like you turn to watch it, and it's just to see if maybe Devin Booker goes off for 70 again.
Exactly.
And if not, then it's a complete waste of time. Mm-hmm.
Where's his pace at? Oh, he's probably going to throw up 20. all right, next channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the longest I kept it on that channel was because my batteries got low on the remote and it was kind of stuck. So I had to get up there and manually change it because there was no way I was going to watch
it. So it was like maybe a max of 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Trae Young is having a freshman year that anyone would wish for. I mean, just outstanding freshman for OU, obviously, doing big things, shooting-wise, passing, dribbling, a lot of turnovers, but still, as a freshman, it's kind of something that you might expect. Does he go pro after this year, and would it be a good decision for him to do so? Ruben?
You know, I think it would. I mean, because he's proven what he can do. I mean, he has several games where he scored like 48, 45. And with him having the ball in his hands as much as he does, they're keen on him. So they know he's the guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oklahoma shows up in your gym and you don't go, which one is Trae Young? No, right. They know exactly. You've seen enough.
Dude with the bad hair.
You've seen enough ESPN highlights to know who Trae Young is and that's the guy you got to stop. So if he's leading the country in points and assists, then he's doing something right, and I think he translates to the next level pretty well.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not going to take into consideration a whole lot about the turnovers because you have the ball in your hands 90% of your team's possessions.
That's very true.
You're dishing out. I don't know. I think I've seen a game he had like 20 some assists. I mean, you're going to have turnovers. You have the ball that much. I mean, it's inevitable unless you're Chris Paul, but.
Right. Or Dylan Dominguez.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too great of a passer. But, no, I just think, and going to the NBA after 1 year, I think it's going to be nothing but beneficial for him. I mean, to get experience at that level, the more experience you have, the better. It keeps you high playing. Like, you get to mature a lot faster than, say, someone that I think, stays all 4 years in college and then goes to the NBA. I feel like they'd be 3 years behind. So someone that went in after their freshman year.
Yeah, and somebody that comes to mind, because I like the Tar Heels, is Bryce Johnson. I mean, he was really good his senior year. He did really well in his years at North Carolina, but now I don't really hear much about him. You know what I mean? He's doing good things. I think I can't even think of what team he's on. I want to say the Clippers, but he definitely, made his mark in college, and then it kind of didn't translate as well. I think if Trae Young kind of gets caught up in the college thing, like you're saying, he might just kind of fall behind the curve. And it's not very good. Plus, I think that his draft stock's as high as it's ever going to be. Yeah. Unless he turns around next year and puts up bigger numbers. But we've seen kind of like the success issue is if you stay at the same point, you don't go anywhere. Kind of like Russell Westbrook. They were saying, even if he had the year he had last year, MVP numbers just blew away the competition, it would still be much harder for him the second year to win MVP.
Well, that's kind of like the same thing with LeBron. He won the MVP, it was like, 2 or 3 times in a row? And put up same numbers, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists a game for pretty much, I want to say, his whole career. He's hovering right there around a triple-double. But, voter fatigue, I think it is. So I think it just kind of hurts your stock. And you never know when you're going to get injured. He could come back to college next year and get hurt and lose
a lot of money.
Seriously. Yep. No, exactly. And for those of you NBA gurus that are listening, Bryce Johnson plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. So I don't want to come off as an idiot. Maybe I am. I don't know. New Mexico State is ranked at 26th overall in the top. Well, there's top 25. They have the most votes for next in line. So we're hoping that
they're on deck.
Yeah, exactly. They got to continue to win, and maybe they finish out the year in the top 25. What that does for a team like a mid-major team like them is if they win their conference, now it looks like they'll be, seated higher. Winning the WAC conference hasn't really meant a whole lot to many more teams than New Mexico State because they've been winning it so many times in a row and so close together that I guess it kind of just means like, okay, well, New Mexico State made the March Madness once again, but their seed is so low that it just kind of cancels them out.
Yeah.
Maybe making in the top 25 or getting high amounts of votes will do a little bit more for them. So what do you guys think about New Mexico State's run in pretty much all their sports?
Well, I think that they're going to have a better chance of maybe winning the first game, maybe even making it out of the first weekend because they went to the Maui tournament. They beat Miami, which was ranked back then. Remember, they were like in the top 15, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And they were ranked 6th at the time.
Yeah, they were ranked 6th at the time. And they were pretty darn good team. And they ended up getting beat by USC in the championship. Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, that experience playing in a big stage like that will help them not get the stage fright, you know, that they've had in the past. You know, playing, you play a team from a major conference and you're thinking, like, we can't compete with these guys. They're on ESPN every night.
Look how big they are.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And now it's like, you know what? We know that we can compete with these guys, and let's go. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I root for them, and, of course, alumni too. But, yeah, I hope big things from them.
Dylan?
I'm just really looking forward to them advancing, you know, hopefully past the second round at least. It'd be nice to see them continue to build from, you know, a couple years ago. They had a really good team, and it'd just be nice to see them continue to build and just get further, because like you said, like they've beat a lot of good teams this year, and hopefully they're not stuck at a low seed, you know, trying to play a top seed or something stupid, you know, first round and, you know, luck of the draw really.
Yeah. And we've actually, New Mexico State has actually played in the first round of the March Madness. A couple of teams that they could hang with, like San Diego State comes to mind about, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago. And St. Louis was one of the ones that was real close. It was like they were favored, but, you know, New Mexico State had a chance. But I don't know. A big amount of fans that just watch March Madness on a regular basis are looking for that mid-major team that's going to make that upset. I think New Mexico State just might be the team this year, and that's what really excites me. Okay, so with that being said, New Mexico State moved from Adidas to Under Armour, I think, last year. What brand would you like to sponsor your team? If you could choose a brand, which one would it be, and who has, do you think, the best uniforms?
I'm a classic type of guy. I'm going to go with Reebok.
Ooh.
Yeah, throwback. But I don't know. I just like their gear. I'm not real flashy. I don't like Nike's real flashy. You know, Under Armour's real flashy. Adidas is pretty flashy. I'm kind of black and white when it comes to stuff I like to wear.
So what team is black and white?
The only one, Spurs.
Okay.
Raiders.
Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, to me, when I think of Reebok, I only think of two things. CrossFit, my brother wears CrossFit, and I think Reebok is one of their major deals, and aerobics back in the days, aerobic shoes. So
Allen Iverson, wow. Reebok.
I think I've seen you wear aerobic shoes, so that's probably... No, I'm at Adidas all day. I guess when Adidas was with New Mexico State, and of course you were at New Mexico State, I started getting into Adidas, and I just like the styles and the designs and the comfort that Adidas puts out. So yeah, I'm Adidas all day.
It says right now that Reebok is turning to sponsorship deals with prominent fitness groups to try and revive their name that has faded since it became part of Germany's Adidas sportswear group 8 years ago. So it's part of Adidas now.
Oh, sweet. But, hashtag bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, I just can't see myself wearing Reebok and feeling like I'm, I don't know, in a good spot.
You don't remember the pumps? Industry.
Yeah, I do remember the pumps, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess they kind of made a thing with what is it?
Allen Iverson?
No, the CrossFit.
Oh, yeah, CrossFit, yeah.
Reebok's huge for CrossFit, but yeah, for basketball or for any other sport, not so much. Adidas is probably where I'd go with that, or Nike, just because they continue to move things around. Okay, so my next topic, tattoos for winning a team championship. Now, if you're a player, I could understand it. If my team wins a championship, and let's say I decided, you know what, forget it, I'm just going to get a tattoo, it's something that you want to remember for the rest of your life. So I don't think it's as big of a deal. Now, as a fan, what do you guys think about getting a tattoo for the team that won that you just like?
I think it's stupid. I mean,
done.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Especially the people that get it done before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how many times I've seen it on, you know, Bleacher Report or something where, oh, this fan got a tattoo of a Super Bowl and, like, it's before the year even started. Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? And they end up winning 3 games. I'm like, good one, idiot. Like, yeah. Go cover that
that's
up.
That's on your body.
Yeah, way to go. You just got a tattoo of the Browns. You thought it was the Patriots. It's the Browns. Yeah. You didn't pay full price. No, I think, of course, I'm not a tattoo guy, so I'm not going to promote tattoos, but if let's say each one of us had to get a tattoo, where would you put it?
Ooh, where would I put it?
I mean, it'd be a you had to do it. Let's just say, you know, we're going to go to prison if we don't get a tattoo.
We're gonna go to,
wow.
I think I
that's
might,
a weird thing to
I
even
might go
propose.
To prison and then get a prison tat.
Oh, that's the ones you get. This isn't that kind of a show. We're not going to talk about it. No, mine would be on the bottom of my foot.
Really?
Yeah, on the bottom of my foot.
First off, that sounds really painful.
Yeah, definitely.
Second off, gross.
Are you ticklish?
Yeah.
Because it might not look like what you want it to look like.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. It'd be on the bottom of my foot. Who sees the bottom of my foot?
Do you ever go to the beach and walk around?
No. All I care about is I don't want to.
Yeah.
Dylan, do you want to answer this weird question?
Yeah, you've got to answer it. I already
we have to.
There.
I don't know. I think maybe on my arm. I don't know. Somewhere above the sleeve so that, you know, you only see it if I take my shirt off. I know that there's certain places, you know.
Okay,
you
shoulder never, tattoo?
Maybe, yeah. Shoulder, upper arm, you know, bicep maybe.
I'm not going to say that I've thought about this, but if I had to get a tattoo, then it'd be on my Tommy John scar. It'd be like
smiley
flames
face.
Or... It'd probably either be flames of some sort because
you definitely thought about this.
I don't know.
He'd
been dreaming about it.
Yeah, I've already done markups with pens and things like
Sharpies.
That. Sharpies. I've done consultations with different tattoo artists, but yeah, or even baseball laces would be on there. That's probably it. It's already a scar, so what's a tattoo gonna do about it? So it's not gonna make it
look even worse.
Well, okay. and so the next topic that I have for us today is. MLB's coming up, spring training's getting ready to go, and I'm thinking about all of the different teams and kind of the things that come to mind. Who do you think is the face of the MLB right now, and who do you see possibly being the face of the MLB, you know, going into the season?
There's a couple of guys. I'll go ahead and do an American League and a National League just because that's tough to just say one person. But I'm going to go ahead and say one of the faces of the American League that just came up all of a sudden and is just big time now is Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman, you know, won a world championship. He's from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he has just been all over social media, done big things, and just seems like a likable kind of guy, like that's just out in the, you know, in the public and everything. And so I would say him. And then of course I'm a big time Dodger fan. So I got to go with my boy, Cody Bellinger, who's, you know, a second-year player, rookie of the year last year, you know, hit all kinds of bombs, and he just seems like the kind that could be a face of MLB. So what do y'all think?
Dylan, you're not a huge baseball guy, but when you think of the MLB, what are a few names that come to mind?
I don't know. I really like watching Bryce Harper. I don't mind turning on the TV and watching a Nationals game if Bryce Harper's playing. I know I said I'm not real flashy, and I know he's kind of, you know, not out there, but he's real emotional. Mm-hmm. And I just like watching him play. He goes all out every single play, every at-bat. You know, it don't matter. He hits a little dinker, he's going to try to beat it out.
Yeah.
And that's something I like watching. I like watching people that give 100% all the time.
For sure. If I'm going to go in the same format that Ruben said, I'd say – one of the big names that kind of comes to mind is I like pitchers, but so that's kind of why I'm going to throw this guy's name into the mix, and that's Thor. Noah Syndergaard has been a big figure in the MLB. He's had injuries in this past year that kind of set him back a little bit, but I still think that he's probably the most marketable guy on the Mets and somewhat in, you know, New York is a big platform, and so, yeah, in the NL. The AL, I'd say Mike Trout is probably right up there. When you mention Bryce Harper, I mean, Mike Trout kind of just comes hand in hand with them. I think they compete against each other. And so he's going to be one of the guys that we're going to obviously be looking for because he had injuries in the last year. And so we're hoping for a full season of greatness once again. But what I want to see is I want to see the National League be taken over by Paul Goldschmidt. Always a big fan of obvious D-backs
guys. Wow,
so
you just got two National League guys?
No, I said National League and then Mike Trout.
What was Noah Syndergaard? He wasn't National
League? He's National League, yeah. I'm saying what's going to happen in the future.
Oh.
I'm saying what's now, what and in the
what's
future, it's
come?
Goldie. Yeah, and then in the AL, I'd say Francisco Lindor. I think he's gonna take over. He did really well this past year, and I think he's gonna be that guy again. So anyways, guys, thanks for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed it. This was the All Sports Best Podcast. We're sponsored by Constructors Inc., Kaleidoscope's Ice Cream, and more, Farm Bureau Insurance and Albertsons Market. I'm Trey here with Ruben and Dylan. We hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we hope you listen to our next podcast.